Parvate Vasudevaya. Udyanani cha ramyani vichitre amara drumai kuja dvihanga mitune gayan matta madhuvratai Udyayani charamyani vichitre amaradrumai kujadvi hanga mitune gayan matta madhuvratai Udyanyani charamyani vichitre amaradrumai kujadvi hanga mitune gayan matta madhuvratai Udyayani, gardens, cha, also, ramyani, very beautiful, vichitrai, various, amaradrumai, were trees brought from the heavenly planets, kuja, singing, dvihanga, of birds, mitunai, with pairs, gayat, humming, mata, mad, madhuvratai, with bumblebees. Translation. The king's residence was surrounded by gardens. The king's residence was surrounded by gardens wherein there were varieties of trees brought from the heavenly planets. In those trees there were pairs of sweetly singing birds and almost mad bumblebees, which made a very relishable buzzing sound. Purport. In this verse, the word Amara Dromahi, with trees brought from the heavenly planets, is very significant. The heavenly planets are known as Amara Loka, the planets where death is very much delayed, because the people there live for 10,000 years according to the calculations of the demigods, in which our 6 months are equal to one day. The demigods live in the heavenly planets for months, years, and ten thousands of years according to demigod time. And then again, after the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they fall down to this earth. These are the statements that can be collected from Vedic literature. As the people there live for 10,000 years, so also do trees. So also do the trees. Of course, here on this earth, there are many trees which live for 10,000 years. So what to speak of trees on the heavenly planets? They must live for more than many 10,000s of years. And sometimes, as practiced even now, some valuable trees are taken from one place to another. It is also stated that when Lord Krishna went to the heavenly planets with his wife Satyabhama, he took a Parijata flower tree from heaven and brought it to the earth. There was a fight between Krishna and the demigods due to the Parijata trees being taken from heaven to this planet. The Parijata was planted in the palace of Lord Krishna, which was occupied by Queen Satyabhama. The flower and fruit trees in the heavenly planets are superior, for they are very pleasant and tasteful, and it appears that in the palace of Maharaj Uttanapada there were many varieties of such trees. So great description is given of the situation, the environment that's happening here. Because any activity has to take place somewhere. Nothing just happens in the air, right? You know, of course, if you take the little posters of, you know, Radha and Krishna in the cloud in the Om sign, then that's another thing. But in reality, this doesn't happen. So the situation then creates a environment in which interaction in a relationship can happen. So that's important. So otherwise, why would the Paramahamsas be worried about trees? Right? You know, they're not interested in liberation, let alone any heavenly facility. So why would they care about some heavenly trees? But the point is that to understand the relationship, to appreciate the relationship, appreciate the rasa, then the environment that happens in becomes important. Because then you can understand, we say, okay, they had a nice interaction. But if you understand the environment is of such good quality, then one could understand that the exchange may be more deep, maybe have more significance. Right? The intensity will be greater. Otherwise, why do people try to increase the environment? Right? If it's only just the exchange, right? It means you can sit at home and eat takeout, right? But no, people go out to a fancy restaurant. Why? You know? Because it increases the environment. And therefore, the idea is it will increase the quality of interaction. Now, the difficulty will come is that even you have this nice, perfect arrangement, one has to know what one's doing. Otherwise, it doesn't matter where you are. If you don't know how to interact, it doesn't matter where you are. You're still going to do a bad job, right? It's just the way it is. It's not that the environment changes you. No, the environment allows the activity to go on in a more, you know, it affects the activity itself. It doesn't affect your knowledge. and your ability. Right? That's of course, modern advertisement would have it seem differently. You know, just by getting this particular thing, then everything's going to be fabulous. You suddenly change. Everything's great because you use this deodorant, you know. Everyone follows you down the street, you know. It's great, you know. They come out of all the posh, you know, high-end, you know, professional buildings and all chase you down the street because you have this deodorant on, right, you know, like that. So, you know, and that's deodorant. Now, then your perfume, hey, then, you know, it's like that, you know, rolling in the streets, you know. Traffic stops, planes fall out of the air, right? You know, it's all, so, and it's all you, you know. They're saying it's you, means it's the perfume is necessary for you to do this, but it's you who's doing this, right? And no, it's just creating an environment. Now, if you don't do something with it, what's the meaning? You have a fabulous kitchen, you don't know how to cook. It's not that you're going to cook any better than if there was, you know, two bricks and a pot, right? It's not going to be any different. So here we see is that the culture that is there, Dhruva Maharaj, you know, his father, the other members of the palace, of the city, then the exchange is very great. So this higher grade medium becomes very important in that we can see that the degree or depth of interaction is happening, but the culture is there. Right, so because you have an environment, that's one thing. But unless you know what the environment is, how much you're going to gain from it. Even if you have a great environment, what does it matter? Right, that's that. What makes the difference between the common person and the high society people? One of the things is they can tell the difference between quality of environment. Right. Like that, you know, someone walks down the street in some particular clothes and that, they know what it is. They know, you know, what it signifies. Right? You know, you buy a suit of Kmart or you buy a suit of Milan. Okay, now, who would know the difference? You know, you know, hey, that looks good, but you don't know why it looks good, how much it looks good. But the people who do, they get more from it. Right? Just like if I give you a gift and I say, oh, here, this is for you. That's nice, the emotions. But I tell, oh, this was so, you know, we went here to get this and it was so, it's so rare and all that. And, you know, when I went to get it, someone else, you know, trying to grab it and we were fighting over it like this. No, but I thought, no, my friend's got to have this and everything. And so I got it and it was, you know, very expensive. It was just that, go on. Then you appreciate it more. Right? So all you've done is made one aware of the situation. So it's very important to note, because otherwise there's the concept that ignorance is bliss. Right? If for a donkey, yes, but for humans, then not necessarily. So if you know what's going on, then it's more appreciated. But along with that knowledge of the environment, there should be the knowledge of relationship and interaction. Otherwise, it's just a great environment, and now what do you do with it? You know, or those is okay, it's all environment, you know, what about the substance, the interaction and all that? Therefore, they'll never go to nice places, they'll only go to that little, you know, cafe down on the corner, you know, like this and that, where all the guys with the little goatees and berets sit and stuff, you know? So, the point is this combination. The Vedic knows the why? Because they know knowledge. They understand the environment. They understand the relationship. They understand the activity and the result. Therefore, it's of such a high level. So these then become important. Because here, it's just as they're mentioning everything here, they're mentioning how the different members of the society are interacting with Dhruva Maharaj. How the common people, how the ladies, people of the palace, the other members of the palace, you know, with the other members within the palace, you know, Dhruva Maharaj's father with him. So then one can appreciate what is going on. One can appreciate how great all this is. Yeah. So, So then in here of this greatness of the environment, they have trees from the heavenly planets. So that must be special. How would Dhruva Maharaja's father have these trees? Right? That means he must be someone who can visit the heavenly planets, right? Because you can't pick up a tree and take it home unless you visit the place where it's from. Right? You know? Like that. You can't go out in your backyard and pick up a tree that's in the nursery. You have to go to the nursery. So here is that the tree would be in the heavenly planets. You get it from there, you bring it back. So the significance of his father, how you know, his position, his greatness, his power, then must be very much. Otherwise, how is he having this kind of facility? And we can see is that this facility then, therefore, will make for, you know, very pleasant and very nice environment in which interaction can go on. You know, then it's also mentioned previous that it would be that all this arrangement is very nice, and this also signifies that the father would very soon go to the forest. Why would that be? He's dealt with all these things. So it's not that he had these things, he knew how to deal with these things. That's the most important. The environment is important in so much as it can support what you can do with it. If you don't know what to do with it, what does it matter? You know, it's a nice opportunity, but, you know, so many opportunities lost. So he has this environment, he knows how to deal with the environment, and then naturally it'll be, what more can you do with it? How much more opulence can you work with? You know, there comes a point when it doesn't do anything for you. Right? There was, in recent history, there was a situation which I think was somewhere on the west coast of India, Rajasthan or someplace, where a king died of boredom. Like that. When they actually checked, it was boredom. Because he had everything, he'd done everything, and he wasn't a devotee, so he didn't know what to go, how to go beyond, how to leave and go to the forest and take up spiritual life. So there was nothing else material for him to do. You know, these are the guys that, they live in India, but they have their clothes laundered in Paris. You know, like that. So they don't, you know, he didn't know what to do. So the point is when you have everything, what more is there? That's the point. That's why people are always looking for something new and new. But when that new runs out, then unless one understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, then one will become depressed. One will think, I'm not inspired, you know, life doesn't mean anything and all this. When the point is no, material life doesn't mean anything. Spiritual life, now that has some meaning. Right? So then here Dhruva Maharaja's father is going to, you know, he has all this, he's making this wonderful arrangement for his son. His son will take over the throne. He will go to the forest. Right? So this is the process, is that either one, by hearing, understands there's no benefit in the world, or you understand by experiencing. Right? You go through it, you try to interact with everything, and you see the results. The same time one is engaged in direct devotional activities. And then with time, after the newness and the glimmer or glitter of the material engagement starts to become jaded, then one starts to see is that it doesn't actually compare. One will say it gets less. No, it never was anything. You just thought it was. Right? You think, there's this item I want, and I work very hard to get it. And the moment I get it, I'm very happy. Right? But let's say I come back 2 weeks later. Are they still so euphoric about that they had it? No, it's just now another thing in their house. So that means it was your conception of it was special. But it never was special. It just wasn't. Right? I have a piece of cloth. And if I put a certain name on it, then you go, wow, this is fabulous, you know. And if I put a different name on it, then, you know, who cares? But the point is it's just that name. It doesn't have any meaning other than what we attribute to it. That's the point. So the idea is by engaging the senses properly with knowledge, properly in relationships, then one will actually see them for what they are. If you don't know what you're doing, then engaging the senses and the sense objects, you may still think that there's something valuable here. Why? Because you've tried it in this particular way and you think, you know, and then you speculate, well, if I had done this, it would have been better. If I had done that, it would have been better. That's why the Shastras tell you how something can be done. Right? You know, we'll say, in our mind, it's unlimited the possibilities. No, there's only 10 possibilities. Right? Like, how many ways can you put food in your mouth? Are there unlimited possibilities? I mean, you know, does that make sense? No, there's only so many ways you can get food in your mouth. So, everything in the material world is limited. And so when one understands this, one has tried in all these different ways, then one sees there's nothing more. And then it becomes very easy to go to the forest. So that's the idea. Right? So by hearing, by seeing, by experiencing, by one of these three methods, you have to figure it out. If by going through all this you still don't figure it out, that's foolish. Right? That's muda. So the Bhagavatam is giving all these things so one can appreciate the environment, appreciate what's happening, and then one can see what's going on, what process is being followed here. And then one can see, you know, the Krishna consciousness in this. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much. So Bhagavatam is giving so many detailed explanations about the universe, the cosmic manifestation, and so many details. And we also find these are the pastimes of the Lord. But there is apparently not a scripture that details in so much about the pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. So much that we know that the demons are not there, or that Krishna doesn't take birth, and so forth. So the question is, Krishna being Sarva Rasa Sar, or the possessor and enjoyer of all rasas, this particular pastime where he relates with demons and in his birth also with all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, by having it there here only, makes any difference in the sense that why this place is more special, when apparently there is a particular relationship that he doesn't test even in the spiritual world? Or can you elaborate about this particular difference? Why we don't know, or there are not many available, as far as I know, references of the pastimes in the spiritual world?
Okay. So, his basic point is what's going on here is what is going on there. It's the same thing. It's just there's some extra things that are here that you technically don't see there. But it's not that it makes there any less or here any greater. It's just that it depends upon the situation that is there. Right? It means Krishna reciprocates with the devotees according to their surrender. So demons only surrender a certain amount. Right? They're thinking of him, focusing on him, doing, you know, completely giving up all their activities to be absorbed in him, you know, but it doesn't quite get there, you know, devotionally. So those things wouldn't happen in the spiritual world. They're a taste, but as Krishna points out, it's only a spark of his splendor what he manifests here. So Maya could kill the demons, but because the devotees are involved, Krishna does it himself. Like Hanuman could have killed Ravana, you know, could have destroyed Lanka, could have taken Sita back, but then, you know, where does the pastime happen? Right, so you have that element where what's happening in Golok, then the unlimited variety that's there, the ever increasing depth, you know, of what's manifest, because Krishna is eternal. So that means there's nothing temporary about him. So an experience that he has doesn't go away. So as he is happy, we become happy. So because the devotees render service, that experience lasts eternally. So that means every service that's being rendered means it's adding on to already the happiness that already exists. And so that goes on unlimitedly. Therefore, the need of the spiritual environment and spiritual form and everything, because otherwise nothing else can carry that depth, right? You know, it's said that's why Krishna is blackish in color, because of the depth of rasa, right? It's just so, the fullness that's there. So that aspect is going to be unique that's there. So we see the pastimes, basically, except for these, they're the same. The same elements are going on. Just here, as people are new at it, the eternal associates are not, but everybody else is. So by getting that association, then they come up to the point of that complete attachment to Krishna by which they can get that permanent situation in interaction with Krishna. So, you know, that has its taste, that freshness, that newness of that in that way. But because Krishna's ever expanding, and then there's always that freshness to him. Every moment there's something more than was there before. You know, and because he's expanding, his energies are. So therefore, there's always something fresh in his energy. So the interaction between the Lord and his energies is always ever fresh. Right? But there's that specialness of that first taste of this. Right? So that's what's experienced in the material world. But that element continues on more and more. Right? It means, in other words, someone, you a couple, they meet, and there's that freshness, the romance, so that's very much appreciated, but it's not thought that it should just remain like that. No, it should get deeper and deeper. So deeper and deeper means there's other aspects in life where it goes. Here it's just they meet on the weekends, you know, because they, you know, they live at their parents' house and going to school and all these things, so it appears very special and all that, but they want to take it where they're always together. But always together means, you know, sharing the bathroom, or, you know, how you keep your coat on the rack, or how you deal with refrigerator, or the toilet paper, or the toothpaste. Now that's a serious one, right? So all these different things, you know, how, you know, are there hairs, gorilla hairs in the sink and in the bathtub, you know, things like this. So dealing with these aspects, then, if there's constant development, as we were saying before, if there's knowledge of the situations, knowledge of relationship, then it will get deeper and deeper. And so within those situations, one will be able to deal. The ladies like it clean and nice, nothing, you know, how you say, gross or grungy and everything like that. So the man has that knowledge and he has that inspiration to create that environment, then, you know, he sees that he rinses the sink out or the tub or these things and makes sure that he doesn't make the environment uncomfortable. So because of that consciousness, then the relationship stays fresh. It's not in the big things that they went on the vacation and this and that. Those are nice. That's just to create a variety from being at home. But it's within the home. It's those little things, the consciousness of all that, in to the finest, whatever is the detail in the house, that detail one's conscious, that makes the freshness. Right? So Krishna is supremely conscious, as is his internal potency. So that means that freshness is developing eternally. Does that make sense? So Goloka is where that happens. And here is that newness of it just coming up. But even you can say, well, that's so great. People reminisce of that only because of the intensity. Not because of the, you know, the stupidity and, you know, walking in the rain and getting sick and sharing each other's cold. Oh, isn't that romantic, you know? You know, stuff like that. So, you know, so these kind of things, that's not, it's nice, but there's something more deep. That no matter what happens, you're there. Because these other things, it's just nice. They do things that are nice. They target certain things. You know, but waking up in the morning, you know, what you look like is not necessarily nice. So if someone can still like you after that, that's more deep. You know, okay, you spent 2 hours getting ready. You know, you're going to a special place. Then it's you know, good that someone likes you, but it's not that deep. Anyone could like you. What happens if you haven't dressed up? Not because you don't want to or don't care to, but it's the situation where you can't. Then if they still like you, then that means there's something there. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that they both have their tastes and they're naturally progressive. So the pastime in Gokul, where one is coming in contact, developing that complete attachment, you know, and then becoming completely absorbed in one's position and coming to the point of pure love. So that's a natural state. But then from that, the other 8 stages beyond that also are quite tasty. So Gokul deals with 2 levels of 10 in prema. So Goloka is the other 8. So we hear about them because Krishna and the eternal associates, they're exchanging them so we can see them. But we ourselves can't experience on that level until one's in a spiritual form, because the material form is only has so much you know, natural strength, you know. Like that. Means, in other words, the quality of what you can do with mucus, bile, and air is not as great as what you can do with Satchitananda. Like that. So does that make sense? In Shastra wise, then we see is that the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that explains these pastimes that we're used to hearing of here, there. You know, so he chastises Kaliya, but then after, you know, they go for a little, you know, afterwards that is, then they go for a little joyride around the Jamuna and all that, and then stuff, or Aristasura, he catches him, and then after defeating him, then takes him and ties him up at Shiva's temple at the, you know, at bottom of Nandishwar. Like this. So these things, he does go to Mathura, but he comes right back. You know? So all these different things are there. So the feelings are there. Because the point is, rasa is, you create the environment for a certain interaction. It gives a certain experience. Once that's gained, then you can move on to something else. It's not like here, where you have to accomplish an observable object. Because all that's important there is the relationship. Right? The subject and the object, the verb, the dative will come. The result comes, but that's not the focus. Here it's the focus, because you've accomplished something. The man thinks I've accomplished, and something visible, then for the woman it's secure, it's there. It's not just talked about. The man's talking about getting it, but he hasn't. So he's gotten it, so it's observable. The security is there. So the man feels accomplishment, and the woman feels security. But the point is still, you're only left with sambandha and prayojana. What's the abhideya that connects it? So the spiritual life means, you know, Vedic life means the focus is on abhideya. That's why we say the smartest are fools, because they focus on sambandha and prayojana. I create the nice environment in which I do the yajna, and I get the goal of the heavenly planets. It's not the process of performing the yajna that's important. It's only the dealing with the material elements to get the result, the observable result. So that's why we say that they're foolish. Very intelligent, very pious, but very foolish. Because they don't understand it's the interaction that's important.
Thank you, Maharaj. In you mentioned Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where all these descriptions of the different relationships with the Lord are given. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it's mentioned that the Prahlad Maharaj is the basics of starting the process where he, in his consciousness, actually is considered the highest devotee, right, in the search.
Basically, means Prahlad Maharaj, because he's not worried about the environment. Right? He's not turning to the Lord. He's just absorbed in the Lord, and the Lord takes care. So, but we see Dhruva Maharaj, he's lamenting that he should have been like that, but he wasn't. Right? And other devotees are showing. But the point is that the process of karma yoga and jnana yoga are important, because if we're conditioned, that's where we start. Well, actually, we're starting below that. We can take our position connected to the Lord, then it becomes that. So this combination of the karma and jnana yoga, then that's buddhi yoga, endeavor with intelligence. So that buddhi yoga, that's the basis by which the pure devotional service will arise. Right? Then one can get to that platform like Prahlad Maharaj.
So one of the symptoms that Prahlad Maharaj manifested was such a great level of compassion that he even desired that his own father, which in his power of discrimination, obviously he understood it was a demon, he wanted also to liberate him. I mean, he didn't have even grudges about what he had done to him. So it means that as aspiring devotees, we should start to consider our level of Krishna consciousness, we really have that such a feeling.
Yes, means the idea is that if one's actually seeing everyone as spirit soul, then they're not the conditioning. The conditioning happens to be there by their desire and interaction with material energy, but it's not actually them. So one shouldn't be disturbed by an illusion. Right? One has to deal, because that's the, in other words, it's either one considers oneself that by that false identity. So since that's the identity, means they have to have an identity, you have to have an identity, then you can interact. So if that's their accepted identity, then you deal with that. Right? A dog thinks they're a dog, so therefore you deal with them according to their identity, right? You know, so now if the, you know, like Jarabharat, now if that dog starts to talk to you in very poetic, you know, Vedantic language, then you understand, okay, now I deal differently with this dog, right? So, it's so that consciousness, now let's say they're don't identify with conditioned nature, but the point still comes is that what facility are you going to use to interact? Because the verb requires an environment, requires a reason for it to happen. It requires a subject and an object. In other words, there's always going to be instruments, and then there's the specific activity. So all that's going to be there. So what are you going to use? You don't have a spiritual form, so you use your material form. And the material form has a particular kind of physical, mental, and intellectual capacity. So that's what you use, because technically you're tasting Krishna consciousness. So since everything's Krishna, it doesn't matter what you use. Right? So as far as, let's say, like our view of Varnashram, as far as administration, management, and those things go, and then we do make a distinction between Brahmins higher than Kshatriyas, higher than Vaishyas, higher than Shudra. But when it comes to devotional, about going back to Godhead and using any position to become Krishna conscious, that we make no distinction. on the traditional, not say traditional, how it's applied in the material world, a Shudra generally is not interested in spiritual life, right? So therefore, it's going to be until he elevates himself with time through his piety up to the Brahminical platform, then in some proper association, then he may take interest in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya explains this. Sanatana Goswami. There's unlimited living entities. Out of that, very few are human. Of the few that are human, very few.